Welcome back to the Little Shows That Couldn't. We are here finishing off Clone High. I'm Sean Stewart. With me, as always, is Steve Cartnan.
Hello, Sean.
So let's...
I combined hey and hello. It's really clever. Catching a lot of traction with today's youth. So
really?
That's why, like, I'm starting the podcast off with it. I'm starting every tweet I do now is halo.
That's good. That's good to know. As you can see, our audio quality has gotten better.
Yeah.
We're no longer recording in my secret submarine.
Yeah. But, you know, circumstances, we needed to because we thought it was apocalypse was happening. So
right. So we needed to, you know, cover our bases and get underground.
Can't
but we
be
didn't
want
to stop recording. I mean, we got this going on and all this stuff. So yeah, we had to just keep on trucking.
Right.
So, Steve, we're on the last episode of Clone High.
Yeah, it's a very special, very poignant.
I'd say so too. Yeah.
Final episode of one of my favorite Will Forte cartoons.
Are there other Will Forte cartoons?
Not at all.
No.
This was it.
None that you know of?
None that I've seen.
There's
got to
be like at least one more.
I'm sure he's done, like, he's great at audio work, so I'm sure he's done
he's
something
very
else.
Good at audio
but
work.
I've never heard nor seen it. So
okay.
This
fair
is
enough.
Definitely my top pick for.
You know what? I'm gonna go on a limb and say this is also my top pick of Will Forte cartoons.
Nice.
So I'm right there with you, Steve.
Woohoo. Nice to be on the same page, Sean.
Definitely. It's definitely a good thing. This episode's name is Changes. : the big prom, : the sex romp, : the season finale. Lots of colons.
Yeah, it's like they didn't want to settle on the one title,
yeah.
Or they're just...
The end of it all, this time.
For real.
For reals. They just couldn't let it go. Yeah. And neither can we, really. I mean, I'm kind of crushed that this is the last episode.
Yeah, I'd like to see more, but...
I'd love to see more.
I don't know what it would do.
So Abe is struggling to, you know, ask someone out. We were left on a cliffhanger last episode that he was asking someone to prom. We're not sure if it's Joan. We're not sure if it's Cleo. We know it's one of those two.
Yeah, it has to be.
It has. There's no way it could be. Like, he's not going to ask JFK.
Yeah, and Gigolo.
Yeah, and the Gigolo is kind of a big
It's a
big giveaway.
Not a tease. But, oh, yeah. But giveaway that it's one of the two.
It's yeah. We're not sure which one because, well, I mean. We
but until you start seeing the silhouette of the character coming in,
it's
obviously Cleo.
Yeah.
I mean.
And she is only mildly entertained by the way he proposes.
Yeah. Half-assed, I think, is on top
yeah.
of the six taggers on top of the whale on top of the unicycle.
Yeah. Like, come on. Give him some credit.
Yeah. That poor whale died
that
for
poor
that
whale got
for that proposal. Immediately been attacked. And
yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they, you know, kept their cool until after the proposal mm-hmm. because that could have been really messy if that kept going. If he was asking her while they're just mulling the whale to death.
Yeah. And Abe's got a bad track record of getting some pretty intense pains happen to him. So, you know, gang of tigers. Or
that could have spelled disaster for Abe. But I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah.
I'm glad it all worked out.
So he asked Cleo finally, and then...
We get a nice heart-to-heart talk with Abe and his foster father
yes.
about abstinence. But you can't just have abstinence when you're with Cleo, who is clearly the hottest woman in Clone High.
Well, arguably she was, like, so attractive back in the day, you know, like... Roman emperors were falling down to get to her kind of thing. And it's not lost on Abe's foster dad.
No.
Because as Abe comes in and he's unsure about the sex, his foster dad drives point the home of like, you've got the one shot. He's like, have you seen that ass? It's built like the space shuttle.
Yeah. Now, when you say sex, we're talking about sex, right?
Yes, sure.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Abe's foster father is, he's like, screw the abstinence, get on in there, and have a good time.
Do it for me kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, a little bit. He's like, you, please, just do it.
Yeah.
I need
he,
to do this.
Yeah, he was just like, I need this.
I need this, Abe.
Yeah, so.
All I have is this pipe.
Yeah.
That seems to be all he has. He doesn't have a TV or anything. Well, he might have a TV. I wasn't paying much attention. Gandhi is also struggling with going stag since Marie Curie blew him off after she realized he was a giant penis hole. Is that right?
And there were no other women either to ask or that would go out. And Gandhi makes the decision to go stag with, what, 9 other of the more unattractive clones? Like,
as you can say that, I suppose, yeah.
Gandhi just gestures to all of them saying, he's like, you know, you guys are just some, like, they're throwaway characters in a cartoon show.
Well, they've been around. I mean, we've seen George Washington Carver before. We've seen Attila the Hun.
Tesla. No, Tesla wasn't there.
Was it Tesla?
No, it was the other one. The one that stole from Tesla.
Benjamin Franklin?
No. The guy who he's credited with doing all the cool stuff. Why am I blanking?
Oh, man. I don't even know.
It was Tesla and...
All I can think about is The Prestige, but I know. Can't even remember who he was against.
I thought it was
Thomas Edison.
Edison! Of course. Yeah, I was like the light bulb guy.
It was Edison. Okay, yeah. I was thinking, yeah.
He was one of the ugly ones.
I'm glad we solved that.
Yeah. What happened there? Like, that was like... That was like
just
you get hit.
Prestige.
That's like you get hit in the head like with a baseball bat, and you forget the number 7 for like a few days.
Yeah, it's like shit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah,
10. That's how it goes, right?
Shitty Edison. But yeah, there's that crew, and Gandhi comes up with the plan: white tuxes, sneakers,
limo,
rolling in big limo, and. You know, they show up 10 guys at the start. They leave with 100 women at the end. And he says, do the math.
Solid plan.
Yep.
But it didn't look like that prom was, like, well attended. It looked
not,
like
not
there
at
was,
all.
Like, maybe 13 people tops.
When well, it was being held in the meat locker.
The magical night in the meat locker.
Yeah, which was not theme. Which is not, like, a hip, cool nightclub name. It's a meat locker.
It's no In the Night Garden themed prom.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like they were intending to stop for this prom, their usual activities at the meat locker, as you know, every now and again you hear the telltale sign of a pig squealing and buzz saws and, you know, all them meat locker sounds that I'm sure everyone's familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's been at a meat locker before, you know.
And yeah, so yeah, sparsely populated in the beginning there.
Were they drinking punch or were they drinking blood?
I hope it was punch.
I'm hoping it was punch, but I mean, it's you never know.
There was already so much blood around.
Yeah.
It gets bloodier at one point, but which is hard to say, it already being a meat locker or slaughterhouse. I think they just cut out the middleman and, you know, like they were doing it all in one spot.
Yeah. Get it done, get it out of the way, and then store it for later.
Yeah. So.
That's how they did in the old Swan River Valley.
Right on.
Yeah. I know firsthand experience.
In the meat locker?
Meat locker, yep. Barrel of pig faces. I've seen it all, Steve. I've seen it all. So. Yeah. And JFK realizes that Joan is super hot now and decides he's going to ask her to the prom alongside, like, the 5 other women he asked.
Catherine the Great and a set of triplets that I wasn't familiar with.
I don't know.
But you got to give it to JFK, too. He's persistent.
Very persistent.
He comes in, asks Joan. His Kennedy sense tingles, and he notices Joan all dolled up. But she punches him in the face the first time. He comes back with, I'm just a shy boy who doesn't know how to ask. She elbows him in the neck. And then when she comes across Abe, and he reveals the big secret that he just asked Cleo to the prom, Joan, in a desperate attempt to make Abe jealous, agrees to go with Kennedy, but as a mindless, vapid slut. And she does the voice, she does the, oh, you're so funny.
She has the whole act down pretty easily.
Yeah, I guess she's been observing it for a while, so.
Well, she is living with the prime example
at the moment.
So that helps, I imagine.
Yeah, so it's set. JFK, his 4 or 5 dates, Abe and Cleo.
Gandhi going stag with a bunch of dudes. in white tuxes.
And
living the dream.
Marie Curie with Rock Hudson, although that's still a mystery to me.
You don't see, I think it was Brock Hudson. It is Rock Hudson, you're right. Yeah. You don't see him.
No. Nope.
He's too busy teaching someone to act or something?
Play a game of pool. Marie shares with Gandhi, and it's got to be a reference to something Rock Hudson has done, because as we looked into it, I don't know if we mentioned it last time, he's got to be like the closest living person who's been cloned, I think. Like, he probably wasn't even dead when the show came out.
That's also possible, yeah.
So,
when the experiment started in the 1980s,
right.
But yeah, it's a mystery if he was alive at that point or not.
Yeah. Maybe even Marie made it up. Maybe just to screw with Gandhi.
Also true. Also possible.
Because it's pretty convenient that you ask someone to prom, they say yeah, and they had an emergency pool game to teach.
Damn.
So.
Jimmy Trashcan just couldn't make it. He was too busy sorting out trash or whatever he does. I don't know. But here at the prom by myself.
Yep. So yeah, the prom's happening.
Scudworth gets amnesia. Super lucky amnesia. He forgets what happened in the past, I don't know, 2 hours or so. The Board of Shadowy Figures threatens to kill him on prom night and take all the clones for themselves. And he conveniently forgets about it. But he hasn't forgotten that Stamos beat him as prom king several years ago.
Yeah, that's almost probably one of the core things for Scudworth, is like what makes him.
His drive to do whatever he's doing.
Well, to plan, because he's rigged that to become prom king this time.
Right, so. Yeah, for sure. But he doesn't even win it, because once Scantron sees him, a horribly taped together Scantron.
Yeah. Resurrected.
Resurrected from his number 3 pencil attack or whatever it was. But he sees Stamos and instantly gives him the crown.
Yeah.
He's like, that's Stamos. He's going places.
Which, it really worries me, Sean, that John Stamos is coming to a junior high prom in what should be a rather more secretive city, just to, like, it's literally just because his old friend Cinnamon is there. And
he just has to rub it in,
I guess. And then he takes yet another crown from him, like
unsuspecting.
Like that's maniac behavior. Like,
well, I mean, let's not pretend Scudworth is mentally
You can't. Scudworth is far worse.
He's off his rocker.
But Stamos goes out of his way, and he's even entertaining the crowd with the stories of Full H and Saget, and like,
I was hitting some sticks for the Beach Boys.
Yeah,
back
like
in Oaxaca.
Like, come on, Stamos, you're living a full life, and like, yet you have to torment this one man.
Your house is full.
Yeah,
leave it at that. Let Scudworth have some part of his house.
Yeah, ugh.
But I mean, Scudworth just kills him anyway.
He tries to. He sure as hell tries.
He shoves that crown
because
right up his face.
He confronts Stamos. Stamos graciously. Oh, actually, it's almost like a spit in the face when he says, here, Cinnamon, have the crown. I don't need it.
Then, I have several of them.
Then why did he accept it? And like everything Stamos does is a psychopath's behavior.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Scudworth makes him look downright sane when he turns around and he uses the sharpest crown and stabs Stamos in the eye. And so blood comes pouring out.
And then puts the crown on. Yeah.
Then he then crowns himself with it. And even as the blood drips down his face, he's so happy. He's thanking everybody for
he could not be more excited.
He's like, I can't believe you chose me, which is also not true. It's just, it's insanity happening.
True that. True that. Insane prom night.
Mm-hmm.
Insane to the max. So by the end of the night, Cleo decides she wants to have some sex with Abe.
She's almost getting desperate.
You think so?
Yeah, like, because she's noticing that Abe is a little, like,
little
he's
off.
Drifting away. He's not present. Like, he's not definitely the little puppy he was, right. You know, running behind her.
Definitely.
So I don't think she's ever handled that before. And she's like, well, she's clearly excited to be with him too. She says yes to go to prom and all that, you know.
I mean, I suppose it could be argued definitely, she's excited to be
definitely
with
more now than before. But yeah, now that Abe is playing this, like, or having his little
his
decision problem,
yeah,
she gets increasingly more desperate to lock down the Lincoln log.
That's and interlock that shit hard.
Yeah. So yeah, she tackles him when Abe's talking to Joan, and she says it's 6 o'clock, and she makes sure that he knows she said sex.
And then he gets his cotton balls, and away they go.
Yeah, because he's not sure if women parts need some kind of oil or lubricant. Cotton balls, and then what did he say? Wooden dowels.
There was a dowel.
Yeah, like he's gonna need like to make like
a splint or something.
I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I was confused once upon a time too, but I'm pretty sure there wasn't any assembly required in the female area.
No,
I think
there's no assembly required.
I know that's like it comes as like a package kind of deal.
Thing, yeah.
So
it's its own little thing.
Yeah. So Cleo,
go and have some sex times.
Yeah,
they try to anyway.
Yeah, they paint private suite on just one of the back room doors in blood.
I'm starting to think this was an actual meat locker. Like, was it established at all? I thought it was just like a setting from like in the high school.
No, that's
but
what
it was like an actual.
They
meat
locker. That's the thing. They okay. There's actually a reference to one of their lockers, and Abe's like, "We're not at the high school."
Oh,
and it's like I said, it's not a catchy nightclub. It's
no, not
they had
at all.
The gym was closed because someone wore black sneakers again and ruined the floor. So it had to be at the meat locker.
Guys, when you're at a prom, or even when you're at a gym, don't wear shoes that scuff the floors. It's the worst.
Black-soled shoes are one of the leading causes of gym shutdowns and one of the highest repair bills that our public schools have to face these days. And it's starting to really impact the level of education that our young people
Definitely.
Are receiving. So...
Oh, you think this is funny?
This is not funny. This is serious.
This is serious business.
You take your black sole shoes and you get the fuck out of my gymnasium. I'm sorry. I got worked up.
It's okay. It's understandable. It's understandable. Okay. Let's just.
Okay, I'm
gonna
come back.
Let's breathe a little bit. Okay.
That was nice.
That was good. That was good.
So Abe and Cleo are getting all hot and sticky in their back room.
And bloody, probably.
Yeah.
I mean. Not
well, from painting the sign on the door.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Because it's a dirty, disgusting meat locker. But they've got their bed back there. Somebody pre-planned and pulled in.
Someone's like, these kids are going to be banging. Yeah. We better get some beds in here.
So, it's happening. There's an Abe. He realizes that he's been in love with Joan this whole time.
Who'd have thought?
Which is weird when you think about it. Because you see one naked woman... I didn't think you could be thinking of other women. Then I don't
know,
Sean. Maybe I'm a one woman type of man. So that when I'm with one woman,
call me old fashioned.
Yeah, call me old fashioned. But she's the only one on my mind.
Right. Totally. But not for Abe apparently.
No.
Abe is just too smitten with Joan.
Actually, you could even chalk this up to how Abe screws everything up. He even manages to torpedo himself having sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now Abe, he runs out of the room almost freaking out with this new realization that's finally dawned upon him, and he finds his best friend Gandhi. Oh, Abe's also still in his underwear.
Yeah, of course.
There's no time for clothes.
No time for clothes. He's got to figure this out.
And talking to Gandhi, we have a nice little flashback through the first season of all the time Joan has Freudian slipped her love for Abe.
It's because Abe, he's not sure if Joan feels the same way that he finally does now.
Yeah.
And Gandhi just kind of smacks him. He's like, let's recap.
Yeah.
This whole series.
So Abe, he knows it now, and now he's got to go out and find her. But not before Gandhi tries to...
walk in on
A naked... just dumped Cleo in sexually
unsatisfied. Yeah,
a Gandhi in a Abe Lincoln outfit and stilts. And she doesn't fall for it, not for one hot second.
She knew exactly what was going on.
She's just, get out of here, Gandhi.
Gandhi, go away, please. And JFK and Joan kind of, well, I mean, JFK is kind of wrangled up with Catherine the Great and his other dates. And Joan just kind of sulks the night away. Mm-hmm. Until the end, when everybody is done dancing, JFK kind of confronts her. They have a heart-to-heart.
They do. JFK,
Turns out JFK kind of has a thing for Joan.
Yeah. I'm suspicious of that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Was this a legit thing, or is this just like a JFK needs some sex times?
Yeah, because Catherine the Great was, what did he say? Throwing up bile into the hot dog vat.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, he came out and she says, where's your other dates? And Catherine the Great was getting sick. He gave the triplets to the Three Stooges. I don't know if he said gave, maybe.
Or stole them.
I guess he acknowledged that he didn't need five dates for prom.
For sure.
But again, we're just taking his word for it. And maybe I'm just the distrusting type of Kennedys. But I think he either lost them, stolen away, but he had to focus up if he was going to have some prom night sex.
That's true. And he focuses like a laser beam to Joan.
He does. He
manages to seal the deal with her.
He hits the right notes. Abe's a fool. It's a chowder head. His head's so full of chowder. His beard should be a bread bowl or however.
Yeah, that's about as accurate as it was for Abe.
I love that joke too, by the way. I think that's great. So yeah, now they disappear.
They take off.
What happens for everybody else at the prom?
The Board of Shadowy Figures come right in.
They make their presence felt.
They have been. It's been established earlier on in the episode that they were coming down hard on prom night, and not only the Board of Shadowy Figures, but all the guest stars that we've seen so far. We have Ashley Angel,
Tom Green.
We have Tom Green. We have Marilyn Manson. We have the Extreme Blue guys. All of them.
The dumpster girl who may or may not have been Mandy Moore.
Oh, yeah. She's there, too. Yeah. Possibly her posse of thugs that help her steal stuff from houses. Yeah. But they're all there. They're all apparently the Board of the Shadowy Figures, and they just storm the school.
Yeah. No, the meat locker.
Sorry. They storm the meat locker. That's right.
And, now they come with handcuffs. They're going to eliminate Scudworth, finally.
Finally.
But who saves the day? Old one-eyed Stamos. He, on the quickest of thinking feet, despite laying in a pool of his own blood, he says,
some brain missing.
You cannot crash this prom until the prom king has his traditional conga line.
And the leader of the Board of Shadowy Figures, being a sucker for conga lines,
it's his one weakness. He says, you know it. So when Scudworth races over to Stamos, picks him up off the ground, Stamos lets Scudworth in on the plan to lead everyone into the flash freezer. He's going to hit the switch, and he's going to make sure that, I guess, just Scudworth gets away? Because they've never actually addressed any cryo-freezing technology before. I mean, we've got cloning.
We're in a meat locker, Steve. There is all kinds of cryogenic technology.
I guess it has to be. Because at the end of the episode, we get the end question mark or to be continued question mark. And
question mark exclamation point.
Because so everyone gets conga lined into the flash freezer.
And everyone's frozen. Yep. Except Scudworth.
Yeah.
Scudworth gets away scot-free.
Runs out the door. He says, now Stamos. Stamos hits the switch. But not before. Everyone's in there. And Abe finds JFK with the girl he now realizes that he loves, just finished freshly banged.
To completion.
And
that's what we're left on.
Yeah. They're.
What's going to happen the next season? I don't know.
What could possibly happen in the next season?
Well, I mean, let's get back into that meta question that we kind of left on last episode.
Well, that was like the teaser we said at the end of our last episode.
Right.
And then now, I don't know if anybody remembers, we're finally going to give it to you.
Yep. Like, finally. Yeah. I know you've been on the edge of your seats this whole time.
So let's delve right into this.
Okay, so now we know how it ends. Everybody's frozen to death. So we can even go both ways with how we stated this. Like,
yeah.
What we decided was every year after the clones graduate, do they, like, is there another class of different clones or another class of the same clones that are going through those high schools again?
Yeah, like, if we were to get a second season of Clone High, who would be in the high school? Like, this is the questions.
I'm going to go with another set of clones of, like, Abe, Joan, JFK.
So they've already...
They kind of do, like, a Deus Ex Machina kind of thing.
Yeah, so there's... it's a production line of clones because they could. They did it once before. Why can't they be doing it again?
As far as we know, he's just doing it, like, a series of clones every 4 years or so.
Exactly. They're...
This, like, is clearly his first year because things did not go well at all.
Not for anybody.
No.
It's.
But I'm sure he'll learn his lesson. More times he does it, more times he clones them. And...
But even the Board of Shadowy Figures, their Phase 2 project, which when they finally get their clones back, I don't know what that's about.
What were they going to do with those clones?
Yeah, that's... it's.
Were they going to keep them as the army that Scudworth was supposedly raising?
Yeah, of... why clone historical figures to make an army? Like, couldn't you find some John Rambo guy, clone him a bunch?
Yeah.
And
what were the stormtroopers? Weren't they just like clones of Jango Fett?
Jango Fett, yeah. Just find yourself some Fett.
Find a bounty hunter.
And clone him up. Like, that's from the Board of Shadowy Figures.
I'm going to tell you this,
like,
right,
that's,
now.
Like,
Gandhi is not going to fight well.
Not at all. ADHD... not
ADHD,
his biggest helper.
Kind of big on peace.
I think I read that somewhere once, Sean. I think you're right. And he's incredibly tiny.
Also very tiny.
I wouldn't want him in a foxhole with me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. I get you.
And you got your gangly 6 foot something Abe.
Also kind of big on peace.
Yeah, yeah.
And against
mediation.
Slavery.
Yeah.
mediation. Big on mediation.
And then, yeah, so their plans, I would have liked to have talked to them to kind of...
just have a sit down, see where their head's at. Yeah. Like, why do you think this is an effective way to make an army?
Yeah. But then it worked out good for Scudworth because he was going to have his Cloney Island. But even then, how is he going to hide that from the shadowy figures? It's like...
or anybody for that matter.
Yeah, like, oh... I get it, like, if I found out that, like, if I was watching my TV and there was a commercial for Cloney Island where I can go see a real genetically cloned Abe Lincoln, I'd probably wander down and
have
a gander.
I'd check it out, yeah, but, absolutely.
But the government's going to see, that, like, these Board of Shadowy Figures, like, they can't be just isolated.
I think it was advertised also as an amusement park as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's, like, you know, the tourist attraction kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there was like an underlying like business type to it.
Okay.
But I mean, we'll never know.
Yeah. But I like to think that they would have done, if they were going to do more clones in high school, we were going to get a whole new set of...
That would have been nice too.
...of starring characters. Like, I can't think of any right now. I mean, Abe Lincoln, Joan of Arc, Cleopatra, and Gandhi. That's a pretty good mix.
It's a good mix.
I mean,
it'd be hard to find another one. Like, I don't know where you could even start. Like
a Rasputin, a Stalin, a Pierre Trudeau,
man.
And
Pierre Trudeau,
Jimmy Carter. You know, like, and love interest. They already had Eleanor Roosevelt as the gym teacher, which was weird too, because. Why was she so much older?
Yeah, why are teachers also clones?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, were those the first clones?
Yeah. I mean, why would you do Eleanor Roosevelt first? And, like, how Napoleon owned a restaurant, I guess. In that one time, like...
Right, yeah.
There's, I don't know.
Maybe
there's
they've
so
just,
many
like,
questions.
Maybe they just, like, emancipated themselves from their foster parents.
Hmm.
And just made their own careers and business.
I could see Napoleon doing that. He seems to be the kind of headstrong character.
A lot of tall foster parents, and he's just like, screw this, restaurant time.
Yeah.
Maybe the same was for Eleanor Roosevelt as well. We'll never know. Amelia Earhart. I mean, if they could find a clone.
Yeah. Like, they go to the Amelia Earhart Museum, like one of her old hats.
Yeah, yeah.
Some hair in there.
Little, like, dried up sweat.
I like that, Sean. Maybe nice... Pocahontas.
Oh, that's also good. I
or
like
your
too.
Sacagaweas.
Sacagaweas.
You know, like, so you got...
I like that as well.
Yeah. I'm just saying a Clone High 2.0, season 2. Get over yourself.
Yeah. What's your problem, Clone
yeah,
High?
Yeah, I want to see a whole new batch of clones. A
whole new set.
Laughing, loving, learning, judging.
I don't know if they'd be as loving and judging, though.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure we could find... We'd have to, I'm yeah. sure they could find a group that worked.
Yeah, oh yeah, easily. For sure.
So... But yeah, but what if?
What if?
They freeze, they all get frozen except for the shadowy figures. Then all the clones go out into the real world. Mm-hmm. And like, there was a show about, I'm blanking on the name, where it was like some college students were working minimum wage jobs.
Oh, workaholics?
No.
No.
It was a car, it was an animated.
Okay.
And it was like, they're working at a mattress store, and then the one guy's younger brother comes to live with him. Somebody had shown me some episodes of it.
That sounds like something I've seen.
Yeah, it's a well-known show, or more well-known show than like I could describe. Like Shit. I wish I had done a little more preparation for that. It's the finale. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Like, imagine these clones out in the world trying to make it on their own. Like, what's Gandhi going to do for a job?
Hmm.
Abe, car salesman. Honest Abe's, Lincoln's.
Yeah. Definitely.
Lincoln dealership.
Gandhi, I don't know, maybe a sous chef somewhere? He has the energy to pull off, like, everything you can possibly imagine.
Like a chef at a Benihana?
Yeah.
Where he's flipping up all the food around
him?
That
sounds like it's right up Gandhi's alley. Joan of Arc
Gandhi
would be
working out of Benihana.
chippity chop chop. Yeah.
Joan of Arc.
I think a radio DJ or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, she already had kind of an experience.
She goes to
with
like
that.
A secondary school.
Yeah.
And or
just
secondary education.
On.
Yeah. And she's like the goth girl on the radio. Cleo, sure. Just a model. She's
who cares what Cleo does?
Or a stripper. She's got the drunk foster mom
yep.
enough for it.
Oh, yeah.
She's meeting the requirements on that
she's
end.
She's got the backstory.
Yeah, so...
That's also possible. The future for Cleo is...
pretty...
opaque.
It's not not a lot of different paths.
No, yeah.
And then JFK, he's just going to become president
again. I was going to say, he's probably just going to be another politician.
Yeah. He's going to work his way back up.
Yep. Working his way from the dead.
Yeah.
Back into the office, baby.
Actually, he wouldn't be able to be president again.
Yeah, that's right.
Set terms. Damn. Sorry.
I'm sure, well, someone
sorry,
will find
Jackie
a loophole.
Boy.
Someone will find a loophole. Like, he's been dead for blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Make him president. Yeah. Or something. It worked for Nixon in Futurama.
I was just going to bring that up, Sean. I wanted to jump into a little more, another pop culture pool and splash around for a minute or two, but yeah, no body.
Also so. True, yeah. So a bit of a technicality
if,
there.
If JFK...
But JFK is a clone, how would that work?
Well, it all depends if now, with all these clones flooding into the world, if they're going to recognize if they're real people or if they're just unholy abominations unto the Lord.
Kind of like True Blood with vampires.
Kind of exactly like True Blood. I've never seen the show. Sean.
It's
did
okay.
Wait, True Blood had vampires?
True Blood was about vampires, yeah.
I thought it was like about pixies and stuff.
Well, I mean, after like season 4 or 5, they unleash like 1,000 different kinds of animals and man beasts and stuff. And it gets so convoluted and stupid that you're like, why am I still watching this?
Right.
But the first 2 or 3 seasons were pretty good. I would recommend them.
Conflicting reviews.
Yeah.
Take
that in your pipe and smoke it, Abe.
Yeah. And
Honest
Abe's
Abe.
Foster dad.
Abe's foster dad.
So.
I think that's all we got for. Oh, you know what? We forgot Dolphin Watch.
You're right.
And we see the dolphin playing bass for the abandoned pools.
We just don't hear him. We get to see him. So
it was a
nice, like, last show. They give us the full dolphin, Sean.
They gave us the full dolphin.
Yeah.
And I could not be more excited about it.
It was one of my highlights.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know what? It's my MVP. Because, you know, dolphin? I like to think that that was the same dolphin throughout the entire show. Every time you heard it but didn't see it, it was one dolphin.
I think you're right.
Under God.
Wow.
Indivisible by, I don't know what that means.
Indivisible by et cetera.
Did you have an MVP for this finale, Sean?
Ah, man, I got to think about an MVP. Because I honestly...
Okay, I can talk more about how I think dolphins are a majestic creature of the sea who aren't getting enough respect by humanity. We're going to get a little PETA heavy on this part while Sean's thinking, so just bear with me.
So I'm going to go for my MVP. I'm going to go for Abe. Abe is my MVP.
Oh.
Because he finally comes to terms with his feelings for Joan, and it warms my feels inside.
See... I would,
right in the fields.
If I could take away an MVP, I would take it away for the opposite reason, Sean. I would like to use my MVP to counter your MVP.
Okay, fair
if
enough.
If I could. Because Abe fucks up again.
He always messes up. He's always messing up.
And I was hoping he'd turn it around. But no, he was deciding for a girl. He's the kind of guy, I think, who loves to be miserable.
Oh, clearly, yeah.
So...
He's clearly making the wrong decisions all the time.
He's just being like a scrub. And a scrub is a guy who can't get no love from me.
Okay, fair enough. Hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride.
If that's how you see it, Sean, yeah.
I mean, I do. So.
Okay, then, yeah.
But so now MVP. I feel bad that my MVP is such a garbage MVP.
Hey, man.
And I don't want to make another one because I can't think of another
one. I'm sorry, Sean. Don't let me just crush everything that you think. And like make you feel bad. That's not what that wasn't my intention.
Right.
But I'm certainly glad it happened.
I knew you would be. You sick man. You sick, sick man. All right. So as per usual, I have a little couple words here to part ways with Clone High. So we can wrap this bad boy up.
Lay it on us, Sean.
Cue the bagpipes, me. Today, we say goodbye to Clone High, a very special animated series. We will miss Abe's lanky inability to face conflict, Gundy's ADD-riddled antics, and Joan's constant pining for Abe. We will miss JFK's obvious innuendo, and we won't miss Cleo at all. Like, seriously, she's the worst. We will miss Cinnamon J. Scudworth and his trusty sidekick, Mr. Butlertron, and the way they unsuccessfully ran their school. We hope Scudworth's plans for world domination come to fruition, but hope he gets whatever mental help he needs beforehand. We will miss the clones we never got a chance to know, like Marie Curie, George Washington Carver, Julius Caesar, and Jesus Christe. We bid farewell to this show with raised hands and dilated pupils, and only hope with all our heart a renewal is just a couple months away. Goodbye, Clone High, we hardly knew ye. And that's it, you guys. Any parting thoughts on Clone High?
It was, and it is.
This. you can check us out at littleshowspod.com. I'm sure you know that already by now. We're on Twitter at littleshowspod. I'm on Twitter at Sean Stewman. Spelling will be in the description of this episode, and we will see you next time when we cover. Should we say what we're covering next, or should we leave it a secret?
Let's leave it a secret.
Ooh. Secret.
Secret.
Secret. All right. Well, hope you tune in next time. See you guys later.